from the New York Law Journal, just out on the 28th. It's your birthday present,
you.
Darling.
Yes,
disabled
I've had
plaintiffs
minutes.
Won the right to end home care.
Just a quick to end home care?
To in home care.
Oh, for in home care.
That's right.
Okay.
They won, hon.
Right.
It's a victory.
Okay. I don't want to take up time with that right now.
But no, I'm going to mail it to you.
Okay, thank you. Nachman's analogy wasn't good about FDR's keep, which I have mixed feelings about it, but FDR's keeping his being crippled a secret is not like keeping criminality in government secret.
Right, it's more important to show that the drug war has no legs.
No, bad. Not a good analogy.
I think the analogy he was making was that there was a certain politeness in reporters that they would not embarrass a government official or do something that was considered a and it's something that back in 1940s it was considered by the top people around his campaign people, and I've read this, it was considered a drawback. They didn't want Americans to know in the mid 1940s that their president had polio.
Well, recently as the big fight that just went on about if there should be a statue, there was a big fight if one of the statues could have him in a wheelchair.
Right.
But I just objected to the thing of saying no legs.
I apologize. It's just
a bad joke.
But I just want to say, I have a question. I was in and out, still recovering from the celebration of my birthday, and did you know Timmerman?
Who's that? Art Timmerman is an Argentinian.
Yeah.
I did not know him personally. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I'm not. No opinion either way, but thank you and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
And all right. 212-209-2900. Our chief guest, Mario Menendez, the editor of Por Esto in the Yucatan, and you are on the radio.
Hello.
Fascinating show.
All right.
Your point about Mexican and American media being sort of parallel is very telling. Case in point, Fox News, it's run basically by conservatives, and what Fox News does in a somewhat sophisticated way that fools a lot of people, unfortunately, is they hire these liberals like Ellen Ratner and Alan Combs to sort of serve as a supposed opposition, whereas they're merely pounding, liberal punching bags for this right-dominated media venue, whereas someone like Alexander Coburn, for example, you would not see. And the only reason why the right-of-center media tolerates a Christopher Hitchens is because Hitchens has took it upon himself to make a name for himself going after Clinton.
You see poor Jeff Cohen is on, what's Jeff Cohen on? Is he on one of those round tables?
Yeah, the media show. And you notice
they treat him like Jeff Cohen's head of fairness and accuracy in reporting. He's a very progressive guy, good friend of mine. He was involved with us and Robert in radio doing the Iran-Contra stuff. And he's always hitting again and again on media control of the, corporate control of the media and how these big advertising agencies and corporate.
They treat him like a decrepit journalist.
Yeah. They laugh at him. He's like the
it's like mocking
the someone. Yeah, they mock him during the whole program.
You know how they censor him? In addition to Pinkerton, they recently hired that Christian Reich guy, Cal Thomas. So for the half hour,
his time is limited
because they have this guy Thomas on now. It's really, ridiculous. And I also like too, my last point, how American journalists, and I'm sure this is true in Mexican too, how they are very selective in terms of being hard-hitting. Like a Christiane Amanpour, she will do these dramatic exposés critiquing, say, a country that's not on good terms with the U.S. But the same Christiane Amanpour, when it's a country that's on good geostrategic terms with the U.S., she's nowhere to be found. It's putrid.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Good point.
This reminds me of the ONDCP scandal where they were allowing...
the Office on Drug Policy, the Drug Czar's Office.
They were basically giving huge financial breaks to big networks like Fox when they would change their show script to anti-drug messages, and then they wouldn't have to use those commercial spots to put in anti-drug
announcements.
The
government telling the media what to say about drugs?
It's not even the media now. It's our main primetime TV.
Right. They're sitcom writers. Writing Dick Van Dyke works for the government.
Well, that's all part of the media in a sense.
Maybe if they made better TV shows, people wouldn't use so many drugs.
A couple of shows that were really bad that were on their way out that did it the most.
Right. 90210 did it a lot.
Oh, surprise.
What is that? So, Group of Eight? Family of Eight?
Oh, the family.
Party of Five.
Party of Seven or something. The one where the father's the...
The minister.
Valerie came on to 90210.
Not only the father is the minister, but now in the recent episode, he was in the
jury. Oh, jury or the death penalty case.
And it becomes his religious calling to argue for the death penalty.
For the death penalty.
Against the African-American defendant. You know,
anyway,
can you stand
gross.
It? Right.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Everyone. It's almost like it's all part of the one thing. Whatever's going on in the world... you have to understand that we're, shall we say, odd people. We're the minority. How does it feel, Paul and Joni?
This is not just because right now is not a revolutionary time doesn't mean we shouldn't be working hard to prepare
No. Paul, please don't twist what I'm saying.
It might happen tomorrow.
It's working.
I thought it was going to happen this about two hours ago. I know.
Well,
look, there was like shots fired in the Bronx, and like glass bottles being thrown at the police.
We thought a shot was fired during a live.
We were watching
broadcast. The
live broadcast on Channel 2, and you heard bang, and I thought the reporter was going to keel over. And it wasn't a shot. She said shot.
M80.
That was an M80. I know, because I was in plenty of riots.
We never talk, I said this at least once before, we never talk about the think tanks that are in the United States of America.
Good point, yeah.
Places
the Lane Smith Center.
Where they are working on what should they do. Like Waco was a think tank.
Right, the Manhattan
Institute.
That's
in
right.
The
New York.
Well,
good
Institute,
point.
And you name them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
listen,
the Heritage Foundation.
Point.
Cato.
The Cato Institute. Oh,
some are good, though. Sorry.
Here's my point. Yeah. We don't know how many people are in these places and what technology, and it's not even important. They have game plans, what to do. World War IX is already in the books.
Oh, we're talking about the bad ones. We're talking about the bad ones.
Here's the thing. Have you mentioned, even though it looks like a win for our side, Dr. Mary Frances
Lynn
Chadwick.
We're going to talk about this more next week.
Next week, the revolution. Hey, revolution, you can wait till next week.
Well,
we're ready.
The thing is that we're dealing at the international level, and we have to break it down to what's happening in Pacifica.
We will. The struggle that this poor station has with the bureaucratic...
He's right, though. He's absolutely right. We had our own struggle. That's a huge struggle. It's been going on for several years.
The unionization of workers who wish to be part of a union for the protection...
Well, corporate government takeover can happen anywhere, even here.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
love.
All right, Monroe. Thanks for calling, hon.
212-209-2900, and you're on the radio. Let them talk.
Hello? Well, thank God before you left, there was at least one crank call.
The revolution already started for
you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question. Where is the fun place to go in Mexico? I've never been to Mexico. I'm tempted to go. Should I go to Merida? I would like to have good mushrooms over there, good grass.
There would be any one of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration has 6 offices in Mexico, and they keep the finest stuff for themselves. So.
No, but really, which place should I go? Should I go to Merida? Should I go to Puerto Vallarta or...
Zipolite.
You can find that kind of information out in any guidebook. That's not our department, sir. And the question is, it really mocks what we're trying to talk about here. But thank you very much.
And you're on the radio.
Hello.
Yes, Monroe is a DEA agent.
212-209-2900. Our guest is Mario Menendez. Tell us, let's talk a little bit more about what's been going on recently in the Yucatan, because I think I want to retell this story a little bit. You had the president of Banamex, right? What's his name?
Roberto Hernandez Ramirez.
Uh-huh. And what... He's a drug baron? How do we know this? How do you know this is a fact?
Well, let me explain you the story. In 1996, December of 1996, some fishermen from lobster fishermen at the coast of Quintana Roo came to see us, and they asked me to help them to defend their land. But I said, there's no problem to defend your land. You have the rights on it. Yes, we have the rights on it. You have the titles? He says, we have the titles. Let me see them. They show me what on rule, yeah, correctly. I said, there's no problem with you. We want to know if you are going to help us. But why are you asking me that way? Because we know that if you give your word, you are not going to go back on it. I said, okay, I'll help you. And now tell me why so much mysterious things about this land. And they told me that the thing was very rough. The land, they wanted to take them off those land, that land, because Roberto Hernandez wanted to be the only owner of that part where the drug was coming. And that's where I learned that Roberto Hernandez was in the business. In 1995, we published a disembarkment of drug in a ranch at the beach called Santa Rosa. But at that time, I did not know that that was owned also by Roberto Hernandez. So I just put the note, I published the note, but not saying who was the real owner. Now, at this time, then I prepare myself to have a big investigation. So what did we do? As we sent our best reporters to that land, and I asked him to stay the necessary time to catch everything. So they went. But let me tell you this, Paul. When you go to those places, there is no sign of life there. You are at the protection of the celestial dignities because nobody lives there. Our people went there and stayed 10 days with the respective 10 nights in the sand, in the jungle, at the entrance of the rivers, and they caught every step of the drug movement.
And they took pictures.
And they took pictures. They came back to see me, and they were astonished, and they told me, Mary, what we do with this? I saw it, and I said, this is a very serious matter, because he is not anybody. He is the owner, and he is also the principal bank, and this is the principal bank of Mexico. But above all, he's a very, very close friend of the president. So I went and spoke with the military, the army, and the army confirmed the news that our reporters had. We went to see the Navy. They said the same thing. We even went to the Air Force. And they all said that what the reporters got was true. We received that. When I received all the confirmation, we published the first reportage. And that day, I did not know it. We did not plan it that way. That day, the president of Mexico arrived in Merida, and the man who was his guest of honor was Roberto Hernandez, the one who we were accusing of drug dealing. The president was old man. He was real bad. The situation was real bad. They treated our reporters with, I wouldn't say repression, hitting them, but get them on, shove them off the side. So I said, we are not going to stay like this. We're going to become the prosecutors. So we went to the Jan Marino in Mexico, huh? And we accused, by law, penalty, we accused Roberto Hernandez of drug dealing. And we presented all the proofs that we had caught. And I mean enough proofs, saying Colombia, but that's how it was written, Colombia, the cocaine, we even gave 20 kilos of cocaine. As a matter of fact, it disappeared, you know. I think the consumers were at the PGR, at the Attorney General's
office.
And we accused them by law. Instead of investigating Roberto Hernandez, all the federal state, went against us. The persecution started against us, against our reporters and against me. And I mean persecution. In 1998, a few days before the visit of President Clinton to Merida, when Giordano was around the place, a journalist called me from Mexico City and asked me if I knew that there was an order to arrest me. And I said, order? From whom? Well, Mr. Menendez, you can imagine. Roberto Hernandez, that's correct. Who gave you that order, that filtration, a copy of the order? The general prosecutor of the of the Mexican government. So you can see the complicity.
And meanwhile, while there's complicity from all the Mexican law enforcement agents, and the Mexican military has been given instructions, as this has been reported as well, by the president not to go near the lands or the airfield or the boating entrances of Roberto Hernandez's properties. And the U.S. agencies, from the DEA to the Treasury Department to Customs, they all have a role in this too. They have not only failed to investigate Roberto Hernandez and Banamex, but they have also had Bill Clinton visit Hernandez's property to give a message to all U.S. law enforcement that Hernandez isn't untouchable with the protection of the United States president. There's one U.S. government, I won't say agency, but there's one faction of the U.S. government which is not controlled by the White House, and that is the Federal Reserve Board of Alan Greenspan. And the Federal Reserve Board, under a 1992 law known as the Fed's death penalty, has the power to investigate drug money laundering by banks in the United States and abroad, and to revoke the license to practice banking in the United States of banks that do this. Now, of course, they haven't used it against Citibank. They've only really used it against a small bank in Luxembourg. But last year, the Federal Reserve Board invoked the death penalty against Banamex and is continuing to prosecute the case in their channels.
What is Banamex? Tell people what
the National Bank of Mexico. It's the bank with the most capital, and it also has some branches here in the United States.
Like the Chase. Uh-huh. Man.
So this man, Hernandez, is the equivalent of the CEO of Chase.
He's the 289th richest man in the world, according to Forbes magazine.
Really? And he lives in Yucatan?
No. He lives in Mexico City.
Right, but he owns land there.
Oh, sure, sure.
Lots of land.
Lots of land.
Okay. 212-209-2900. And hopefully
now we're on borrowed time.
We're
so
on borrowed time, right.
That.
So remember, right, any minute now, the next program could come in and Night Shift would take over. So let's keep our call short. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.